This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Coming up, the Obamas have had many nights out on the town. So what lessons are other Americans learning or choosing to ignore from the first couple's romantic example? We'll have that conversation in just a few minutes. But first, we want to tell you about Asra Nomani. She's a regular contributor to this program's parenting segment, and many may also know Asra as a journalist who's reported on how Muslim identity is changing around the world. She was also a friend and co-worker of the journalist Daniel Pearl before he was captured and murdered in Pakistan in 2002. But what many people may not know is that for much of the last 8 years, Asra has been waging a deeply personal and at times personally painful civil rights campaign at her family's mosque in Morgantown, West Virginia. She returned to Morgantown a few years ago seeking some relief from that difficult period in her life, including Danny's murder. She expected to find the low-key, family-oriented place she remembered. But what she found instead was a place that she believed had been taken over by men trying to replicate a rigid, authoritarian, and in some cases extremist culture she thought she'd left overseas. What she tried to do about that at the mosque and in the Muslim community at large is detailed in a new documentary called The Mosque in Morgantown. It airs on PBS next week as part of the America at a Crossroads series. Asra Nomani joins us now, along with Brittany Huckabee, the producer and director of the documentary. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Asra, when you first went back to Morgantown, why did you go back? You'd been living in Washington, D.C., where you and I worked together. You'd been in Pakistan working on a book. You'd been really all over the world. Why did you go back to Morgantown?
Well, in the fourth week of our search to try to find Danny, I found that I was pregnant. I went back to my hometown to have my son. I didn't have any other place in the world that I felt I could go.
And why did you start going back to worship at the mosque? Did you just go back to the mosque because that's where your family went?
Well, when Shibli, my son, was 3 months old, I went on the pilgrimage to Mecca, to Saudi Arabia. And there I realized that we had departed from a lot of the progressive principles with which Islam was born. I literally prayed next to my father, shoulder to shoulder, in Mecca. And what I realized is that there was a different interpretation of Islam than the one that had killed my friend Danny, that there was an interpretation that didn't say that I had to live in shame because I was a single mother without a wedding ring. And in the year after my son's birth, I wanted that spiritual haven that we all seek. So when I walked up to the front door, I walked up as a mother with my son, Shibli, on my hip, trying to find the community in which I could raise him.
What was your initial goal, if I can put it that way? And just to clarify for people who are not aware that it is the custom in much of the world for women to pray at the back, or in many places they have a separate areas entirely, either a balcony or some area where they are away from the gaze of the men. So was it your goal initially to pray side by side? Was it to use the front door? What was it?
Well, 2 out of 3 mosques in America, like you say, have women praying in separate areas, an increase from 1 out of 2 a couple decades ago. And so this is a reflection of a breed of Islam that practices deep segregation and also, to my mind, sanctions intolerance. When I fought for the right of women to go into the main hall, it was because I didn't believe in this brand of Islam that says that we have to stay deaf, dumb, and silent in back corners. And I really believe that the future of our world depended on us fighting for an expression of Islam that was tolerant and woman-friendly in all the far corners, including Morgantown.
Brittany, how did you hear about this?
Well, at the time, I was working in D.C., and I had a colleague who knew Asra. She told me about her friend who had come back home and basically recounted the same story we just heard Asra telling. And as someone who's been interested in religion my entire life, having grown up in a very conservative small church myself in Colorado, I really thought this sounds like a lot of the same stuff that went on in my church when I was a child. And I thought that it might be something worth exploring. I thought the civil rights issue was really interesting, but I thought there might be more to the story beyond that.
What do you think is the more to the story?
Well, I think that there's a larger issue here that's kind of a clash between people like Asra, who are seeking to find a way to practice their religion in the modern world, versus people who are holding on to more traditional ideas about what religion should be. And I think that's one of the big issues in the mosque.
Your film is careful to address multiple perspectives. You interview a lot of the other key people with very different opinions about what is going on. Was that always your intention? or did the intention change as time went on and you got deeper into the story?
Anytime you're talking about religion, but also anytime you're talking about a religion that is practiced by a minority group that is perceived as being misunderstood and where you have these political implications, you have to be nuanced in the way that you approach this. I think that the story's never one-sided.
This story got a lot of attention. In fact, we did a piece on you when I was a correspondent for ABC News Nightline. And that whole question of the media attention and the attention you brought to the mosque becomes an issue in the film. And I just want to play a short clip. Here's a clip from sort of a confrontation in the mosque that suggests that some of the members did not love the attention, and here it is.
Brothers, I just want to let everybody know that CNN is here.
You're not part of this group.
Hey.
You're not part of this group.
I'm just... But take your hands off of me, Mr. Misnish. I'm informing them of what's going on.
You need to inform me.
Ehtisham told me to tell them, okay?
Please,
and you're not a dictator. I'm just letting them know what's going on.
Yes.
I just want to let them know that nobody is going to be taped. That's all I want to tell them. Nobody is going to be taped. Nobody's going to be recorded. So you can feel comfortable.
All right. Very comfortable.
Okay, and if you put your hands on me like that again, I'm going to sue you.
What was going on here, Brittany?
Well, a CNN crew had come to town to cover this idea of dueling Eid parties, which is the holiday at the end of Ramadan. Asra was throwing her own family-friendly Eid party with another character in the film named Christine Arja. And the mosque, of course, was having its usual Eid party where the men and women were in different rooms. So the CNN crew was coming to cover that. And some of the younger, moderate men in the mosque had invited that CNN crew to the mosque to do an interview. And then they ran into resistance from some of these more traditional Muslims who felt it was better to keep the doors closed.
And you can hear the pain in the voice there. There's just clearly a lot of hurt feelings and anger. And Asra, I want to talk to you about this whole question of the attention that you brought to your mosque and others. There are those who continue to argue that if you really wanted to effect change, you would not have invited the cameras in, that you would have gone about it in a different way, that you wanted the fight more than you wanted the result. And what do you say to that?
Well, you know, seared into my mind as a child of America and education is the images from our civil rights movement of the dogs of the white cops in the South, you know, attacking civil rights activists. And the mantra then was the world is watching, you know, and just as it is emblematic in that scene we just heard, you know, we have a conflict right now about whether we're going to be an open society in our Muslim world or closed. And I believe that we need to do that because if we've got stuff that we are ashamed of or embarrassed about, then we need to deal with it. And I also wanted to have witness to what was happening inside those four walls because the truth was, except for my, you know, 60-something mom, I was basically there on my own. And there's a threat and a danger that you face whenever you allow for confrontation.
So you felt, in part, you felt that the attention was a protection.
It was,
for
me, yeah. And the truth is that after 9/11, you know, for the sake of pluralism, we have tried to be really supportive of the Muslim community. And so I think that we have stayed silent on issues where we may have serious ideological differences because we don't want folks to feel unwelcome when there's been a climate of hostility even.
And speaking of 9/11, and I think it is important to remind people that the context here is that you were in Pakistan. You were with Danny Pearl and Marianne Pearl at the time that he was reporting a story. He was kidnapped in the course of doing that story and subsequently murdered in a very grotesque and brutal fashion. And that you came back reeling from this experience. But you also connect some of the attitudes that led to Danny's death with some of the speech that you heard at the mosque. And a lot of the members took issue with that. They felt that that was really unfair and a gross characterization of where they were coming from. So would you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think we're just turning a blind eye to what happens inside of mosques. You know, the mosques aren't just places of worship. They were key in the Iranian Revolution in 1979 to Ayatollah Khomeini's emergence. They are central in defining ideology in communities. And in my situation, you know, trying to find the people who had kidnapped Danny, we discovered that the mosques in Karachi were the places where they dropped off the photos of Danny with a gun to his head. And if you just look at the trail of the 9/11 hijackers, they found safe haven in mosques in Germany. They found safe haven in mosques in America. And we have a responsibility. The world is watching, and they are listening to what comes out of our communities. And to me, you know, religion is meant to make people better. And if we preach from our pulpit that you should not appreciate the West, if you should have hostility towards Jews and Christians, then we're putting into the minds of our youth walls that are ultimately corrosive to their integration and success, I think, in the world.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Asra Nomani, who is the subject of a new documentary by Brittany Huckabee. Brittany Huckabee's also here. It's called The Mosque in Morgantown. It airs on PBS, premiering next week. So, Brittany, one of the interesting things about the film is you interview a lot of women, women who are members of the mosque, longtime members, along with Asra and her family. Very few of them supported Asra's position. Well, tell us why.
Well, they didn't understand why she wanted to pray next to men or in the same room with men. They just have a different concept of that. I think one of the disconnects is that Asra comes very much from an American feminist tradition and also a civil rights tradition. And she wants women to be able to have the same opportunities and access as men. If men get it, women should get it. Muslim women have a different idea. They feel like if it's a different space and it's equally nice, then it's fine. And they see the way Asra thinks as being very secular.
Well, here's a clip that speaks to that. Here's a scene where Asra visited a mosque in Los Angeles, which has a reputation for being on the progressive end of the continuum, as it were. And you were allowed to pray. Well, sort of more or less allowed. Right.
I say that they created like the Asra pen they put up a little partition that I was roped into.
Yes, you did pray in the main sanctuary. Okay. And anyway, here is a short clip where you're talking about this with some of the leaders of the mosque.
My advice: Islam before feminism.
Islam is feminism. Islam is a feminist religion.
My problem is that the issue of the Friday-led prayer detracts and distracts away from the real issue of having access to mosques equal and adequate, and having women promoted into leadership positions, being taken seriously as scholars, being taken seriously as national leaders, because of the means that we are adopting, and because, unfortunately, many people understand your struggle as tied intricately to selling your book.
Which came up a lot, this idea that this is really all about you. Was that painful to you? Did that hurt your feelings?
Yeah, it was painful in that I'm a writer and I'm a journalist, and that's what I do. I believe books do is that they become manifestos for your own new vision. And that's why I think the conflict happened, is because it wasn't just that I put out a book, right? But also because then I wanted to act on what it is that I was talking about and what I believed are our Islamically given rights as women in this world.
What would you want people to draw from this film?
I would wish that people would understand that there is great pain that comes with being marginalized. When I was sitting in the balcony before I went into the main hall, I was so sad. I mean, it was painful to know that I, as a woman, couldn't be a full participant in my community, and that we as a world then suffer when half the population is silenced like that.
Brittany, what about you? What, first of all, I wanted to ask, what do you think over the course of reporting this film, is there anything that surprised you? Did you find yourself kind of drawn to a point of view that perhaps you had not expected? And what would you like people to draw from the film?
I saw a lot of similarities between some of the guys at the mosque and some of the church leaders that I grew up with. I mean, they also were talking about shunning American culture. They were talking about shunning people of other denominations, even within Christianity, not forget about Jews and Muslims and other people of other faiths. So, I mean, I think this is pretty universal, these kinds of conflicts. And I think one of the things when we start talking about interfaith dialogue, we always want to focus on the kind of touchy-feely positive commonalities. But our conflicts are a lot the same, too. I think that when people go inside a mosque, they see that what's going on there isn't all that exotic. It's the same sort of things. Now, obviously, Islam is more politicized right now, and there's more media attention and more focus on where the extremist elements are going in the world today. But I think that a lot of the tendencies are the same. Intolerance is intolerance. And I think that, you know, that when people see what's going on inside the closed doors of the mosque, they'll see that this is a religion we can engage with and we can understand it.
I don't want to give away the arc of the film, but Asra, you are teaching in Washington, D.C. this year, Georgetown University. So needless to say, you're not, you know, worshiping regularly in Morgantown, West Virginia. So do you mind if I ask, how are you attending to your spiritual life at this point after all that you've been through?
Yeah, there isn't a mosque in this country or this world that seems ready for the likes of somebody like me, let's be honest. And I pray at home, and I find the spirituality with my son also. We have our own meditative exercises and exercises of prayer, and which is the larger truth, right? The spiritual experience is not inside four walls. And I realized very early on in this battle that this is not where I'm going to find peace of mind. But what I believed was worth battling was something really important in terms of how our Islam is defined in the world through our places of worship.
Do you still consider yourself a Muslim?
I do consider myself a Muslim because I am embedded with this religion since my earliest days. I'll be honest that I have not felt comfortable being a Muslim in our community, but it's inside of me, inside of my heart.
Asra Nomani is an author. She's the co-director of the Pearl Project investigation based at Georgetown University. She's the subject of the new documentary, The Mosque in Morgantown. Brittany Huckabee is the producer and director of the documentary. It airs on Monday, June 15th on PBS. You'll want to check your local listings for times, and we'll have more information about the mosque in Morgantown at our website. I thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
If you want to see Asra in action, we'll have a link to the latest Doha debate on the Tell Me More website. That's the debate series held in Qatar that addresses some of the most important issues in the Arab and Muslim world. Asra argued the affirmative position that Muslim women should be free to marry whomever they choose. That airs this weekend on BBC World News and can be viewed online.